Are all hearts clear? You know, knowing what time it is becomes really crucial in some cases. Have you ever been awakened from a really deep sleep suddenly and find yourself completely disoriented as to time and place? I remember taking a nap one afternoon back in about 1980, falling into a really deep sleep, and the phone rang, and I got up and answered it, and it was someone from a school system calling to ask if I could substitute teach the next day. That's what I was doing at that point. And since I just woke up, I thought it was actually the next morning. And I carried on this conversation with that orientation, this unwitting person, as though it were just an hour before I needed to be at the school. It wasn't until after I hung up that I fully realized that it was still afternoon of the day before. And the person on the other end of the line must have seriously been questioning my orientation to reality. I truly did not know what time it was. I'm just glad I didn't hop in the car and drive over there. As I said, knowing what time it is becomes really crucial in some cases. And Paul is writing here to the church at Rome, reminding them that the hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. Let's live appropriately as people who live in the day. What time is it? For Christians, our faith, our scriptures remind us that we are living in the new day that has dawned with what Jesus brought into this world, with his resurrection and his giving of the Spirit and his invitation to us to join in this new day, this new creation that has come about because of what he has done for us. So our part is to wake up and live out what the reign of God looks like in this world. It has always been the tradition of the church on the first Sunday of Advent, strange as it may sound to many of our ears, to actually emphasize what has been come to be called the second coming of Jesus. So it's sort of like we start with the end and talk about what that's going to look like, and then we go back and begin to live the story with the birth of Jesus. So, by the way, no less stalwart a Quaker than Elton Trueblood actually said that he saw that it was not fundamentally unreasonable at all to believe in an actual second coming of Jesus. And I was thinking about this, and I realized, you know, that shouldn't be too hard if you believe in God. I mean, is that any more audacious than it is to believe that God showed up in this baby and became one of us? I mean, it doesn't seem any more difficult if we believe in God to believe in that than it does to believe in a first coming. Really? And I've got Elton Trueblood on my side. Our part's to wake up and live as though that final day has already come. That's what it means to live in the day. It means to live as though God's kingdom is here in its fullness now, even though we know that looking around, everybody isn't living in that kingdom yet. We live as though we're living in that day. When we live otherwise, we live as though we don't know what time it is. And so the first message from this little passage in that magnificent book, the letter of Romans, is very simple. Wake up. Do you know anybody that's extraordinarily hard to wake up? Are you one of those people? Are you a sleepwalker? Do you know somebody who is a sleepwalker? I did some research. An article by CBS says that about 3.6% of us sleepwalk every year, about 8 million Americans. But about 30% of adults say that they have sleepwalked at least one time in their life. So are you among those one in three people who have sleepwalked? What happens when somebody's up walking around, interacting with the world while still deeply asleep? Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's hilarious. But apparently there are times when sleepwalking actually leads to horrible things. I learned that sleepwalking has actually been used successfully as a criminal defense, even for murder. One early example was the case of Fain versus the Commonwealth, and this classic case in the 1870s involved a man who fell asleep in the lobby of a hotel in Kentucky. When a porter shook him and tried to rouse him, the man drew a gun and shot the porter three times. While he was being held to the floor, the man repeatedly hollered, "Woo-hoo!" He rose, left the room, and told a witness that he'd shot somebody. When he was told who it was, the man conveyed sadness. The shooter was eventually found guilty of manslaughter, but the conviction was reversed on appeal because it was established that this person was an habitual sleepwalker and that he had been awake the entire night before and had actually been in a deep sleep when he committed this crime. So sleepwalking can lead to some not so good things. The Apostle Paul, speaking spiritually, of course, lists a few examples of the kind of things that spiritual sleepwalkers might do. People who don't know what time it is. People who have not awakened. All kinds of immoralities and harmful behaviors on a personal level and also on a social level. You know what this looks like. I mean, if you read the newspaper or watch the news at all, you know what I'm talking about. If you read a history book, it's filled with people who were spiritually sleepwalking, living in the dark. Or work as a counselor or a teacher or a minister. What's wrong with the world is that we need to wake up. I don't think I've ever actually been a sleepwalker, but I have been what you might call a sleep talker. Anybody else identify with that one? Even when I was still young, my brothers thought it was hilarious. They were teenagers and I was younger. They thought it was hilarious to come in while I was asleep and try to engage me in a conversation and then, of course, remember everything I said so they could tell everybody else and get a great laugh out of me. And I was talking total nonsense because I was living a different reality. I was in my dream world, and it apparently had very little to do with what was actually going on in the real world. It was great fun for them. What kinds of things do people say who don't know that the new day of Christ has dawned and that the complete light of day is on the way? They talk nonsense, but it's often not the funny kind of nonsense. They talk as though evil will win, that there's no real hope in this world or for this world. They talk as though it all means nothing, that what we do means nothing, that we mean nothing. They talk as though what matters most is money and accumulating things and buying stuff. They talk as though what's most important is power. Running things. Or self-gratification. Or fame. They talk as though the truth doesn't matter. They talk as though there's no such thing as truth. They talk as though a plausible lie will always do. They talk as though goodness doesn't matter, that there's no real difference between good and evil. They talk as though justice and compassion don't matter. They're sleep talking. They're talking nonsense. They're staying in the dark of night rather than waking up to the light of Christ that brings God's new morning. When we wake up to that light, we speak what's good, what's true, what's beautiful. We speak love. We speak the language Jesus taught us to speak. So wake up. That's the message. Wake up to God's new day. And then a related second message is, get dressed. What do you wear to bed? You don't have to tell us. You don't have to share that information publicly. But just think about, what did you wear to bed last night? I wonder if you're typical of what others say. According to a survey in The Atlantic a while back, 34% of women wear nightgowns or pajamas to bed, but only 13% of men do. 16% of men wear just their skivvies. For younger people, that's your underwear. But only 2% of women. 25% of women and 21% of men wear shorts and a t-shirt. And 31% of men and 16% of women sleep in, well, nothing. So, considering what you wear to bed, would you want to appear even at Walmart in that stuff? Would you, without changing clothes, hop in the car and head to work or to shop or to eat at a restaurant? Knowing that it's morning and the night is over, would you appear in the light of day wearing your night clothes? Paul says to people who are waking up, living in the light of God's new day, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The appropriate way to appear in the daylight is to be suited up as a son or daughter of God. That means we're growing. We're becoming more like Jesus. We're putting Him on. And that's good protection too. It means that we don't have to go anywhere without His presence wrapped around us. The earlier part of the passage speaks about putting on the armor of light. One translation says, put on the weapons of light. So we're in a season of waiting here. We look forward not just to celebrating the birth of this Christ child, but we also look forward to the full realization of what God began with that Christ child. We're waiting in the meantime. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. Let's live appropriately, as Paul says, as people in the light of day. That means no sleepwalking, no sleep talking, no night clothes allowed. Wake up and get dressed. Amen.